scrolling. This is an extra scrolling. It's Oscar season. Oscars 2022. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Oscar the Grouch.
We're just giving awards to people named Oscar. Felix, get out of here. With us today, we have our movie expert, Kyle Hickman. He is an avid movie fan who loves to attend his local theater. He writes about a number of topics on his blog, kyleahickman.blogspot.com. In fact, he posted his best films of 2021 just the other day. Check it out when you get a chance. He's also recently started screening films for the Indie Film Festival. You can also follow him on Twitter at Kyle_A_Hickman. For daily movie reviews and other movie commentary. He's the host of Munson's at the Movies, a bi-weekly film podcast that explores the lives and careers of randomly selected actors. You can find their link in the show notes. Good morning, Kyle.
Just testing you this morning, Steve, to make sure that you can channel and control your breath properly. This is good. And you did it. You nailed it.
Thank
you. Glad to be back with you guys.
All that work with Pamela Bedore has made us much more literate, Steve. I was amazed that you could even read that.
Thank you. Thank you both for complimenting my ability to say words this week. It's a challenge. Along with Kyle, we have Dane Michael. Dane was, of course, the producer and co-host of CF3, Cult Fans, Films, and Finds, a weekly cult film podcast and YouTube series. And now he's the lead singer of the 90s rock tribute band Fountains of Dane, and also a self-described Oscarologist. And also, see, now I screwed it up. And also a self-described Oscarologist who has been fervently tracking the Oscars for over 20 years. Dane, good to see you, man.
Thank you. And, you know, after hearing Kyle's impressive bio, I think I would still be doing my show if I had just known to do it bi-weekly. If you do it weekly, you just get burnout. And by the way, today you can call me Oscar de la Hoya or Oscar of the Pit, since we all get Oscar names.
Excellent. Excellent.
Now it's garbage. We're here to discuss the Oscars, the awards ceremony where Hollywood comes together and gives each other awards and pats each other on the back for all of their great work. It's been a weird year for movies, hasn't it?
It has been a strange year for films. We're having the aftermath of COVID, if we're not still in the middle of COVID. Movies, as far as the releases to the theaters, are still, you know, hit and miss. I mean, DC, Warner Brothers has delayed their superhero movies again, I think this last week, where they had release dates, but they're going to move them back to the fall because it's a tough time to release in movie theaters.
Which is hilarious, because if you go to the theaters and they had a preview running before movies that talked about all the superhero movies coming out in 2022, and like a week later they're like, we're gonna push that all back, forget everything you just saw.
And I wonder if the Batman opening had something to do with it, because I mean, certainly it did very well, but maybe not. These are expensive films to make with all the CGI and things of that nature. They require a big audience, and if you don't get a big audience, they can get lost.
So, Kyle, have you gone to the movie theater as much as you had in the past?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, coming into 2021, not so much, but I would say by the summer, when restrictions had lessened up a little bit, I was back in, abusing my Regal Unlimited card. So, probably there was a point where I was probably going 6 to 8 times a month.
So our favorite question for the Oscars show every year, Kyle, how many of the Best Picture films have you seen?
All of them.
All of them. 100% all of the films. Dane, have you been getting out to the movie theater?
No. I saw two movies in the theater last year. Well, 2.5. 1.5 of them were at a film festival in Wichita that I was covering with Project Nerd. And then the other one was like the only one that was really just, we have to see this in the theater. And that was Ghostbusters Afterlife. So that's
I thought you were going to say Spider-Man No Way Home.
I haven't seen that. I heard that if you watch the series Loki, that your understanding of the multiverse and how they're integrating it will increase tenfold. Mm-hmm. And so we've started to watch that. And like, even in the first episode, I can tell, you know, that, oh yeah, okay, so this is going to open up a whole can of worms for Marvel
and hit the big reset button.
Now we're just waiting for it to
so many times before.
Yeah, now we're just waiting for it to not be a $20 rental at home, which it still is right now. But
in fact, that's a good point. Is I was going to the theater to see films, and I went to see West Side Story, and I mean, I'm in the theater with, I don't know, maybe 10 other people. Mm-hmm. So this is opening day, first showing, and the certainly a very gray clientele that's joining me. So this is, you know, the market that it was appealing to. When I went to see Spider-Man, I saw an opening day, first showing, that was packed. Mm-hmm. I was next to two 16-year-olds who were just so excited. They were on their phone the entire time, but just loving it. And I was next to a guy who was bringing his son. He got out of the military. He's about 40. And they were just loving Spider-Man. But it's packed. And people were cheering. And it was the first time I had been in had a theater experience since COVID started that was like it used to be. Mm. And when I went to see The Batman, a couple of weeks ago, it just... It was busy, but it wasn't the same pack. Of course, that's rated R. And it was just, I think that may be the reason why they delayed it. Now, it's had a nice opening. But what we're not seeing is a full slate of films. I mean, mm-hmm. they're still re-showing three or four movies that are being re-released, you know, from a number of years back. And then, you know, maybe we'll get something here and there. So that means when you're watching these new films like Belfast, you can rent them for $20. And then, I mean, I think that was 3 or 4 months they ran it for the $19.99 before they finally dropped the price this month. And, you know, Disney Plus is releasing a lot of the Pixar films and things of that nature. Many of the films are being released on Netflix or Amazon Prime or some other group. They're just not being released in the theater.
So how many of these Best Picture nominees did you see, Chip?
I think I saw 4. Okay. So I think that's pretty good. I think that's pretty good.
I saw 2 of them, West Side Story and Don't Look Up. And the reason I saw those 2 is because they were at home. The West Side Story is on Disney Plus and Don't Look Up is on Netflix. So I had access to those 2. I was not going to the theater to see films. I did go see Spider-Man. And yes, that opening day, that feeling of we are coming together as a community to watch this movie was there for Spider-Man. But I don't have that need for any of these other titles.
Yeah, I'm going to say 6. I am so sorry. I saw 6 of these.
Wow. Well done.
I didn't realize I saw so many, but
so let's go through the Best Picture nominees and have a little bit of choice on which one you think is amazing. We start with Belfast. This is the Kenneth Branagh film that we talked about on Too Much Scrolling this week. Coda, that is the... I don't know anything about Coda. Somebody tell me about Coda.
Children of Deaf Adults. It's an Apple Plus movie. It's about a girl who wants to be a singer, and her parents and brother are all deaf. And they make her work on the fishing boats every morning before school. And they do not understand why she would want to be a singer, because there's just that lack of appreciation of music when you're deaf. And it's about her drive to be her own person and while still respecting the family. So it's an amazing movie.
Did she have a hearing issue too?
She does not, no.
Okay.
There's Don't Look Up. This is the satirical view of climate change through Adam McKay's eyes. There's Drive My Car. Can you tell me about Drive My Car?
It is the best paced 3-hour movie I think I've ever seen.
Really?
Like, that's everybody I've talked to that's watched Drive My Car. It's a very long film. It's about an actor. It's a Japanese film about an actor who was kind of going through a little bit of a crisis with his career and existential and personal life. It's called Drive My Car because there's a control element to his life and his story and relinquishing some of that control. So it's a very long movie, but it's paced fantastically for being very long. So if you get a chance to check it out, you should. But that one, I don't think is streaming free anywhere.
Speaking of long movies, we get the first half of Dune in 2021. And Chip, you saw that one.
It's spicy.
It's spicy. There you go. And enormous. Everything is huge in the Dune world.
It's amazing on the Dune world. Everything has an incredible scale. Mm-hmm. Incredible scale.
King Richard, that is the story of Venus and Serena Williams' father and his mm-hmm. choices in fatherhood. Licorice Pizza, I was intrigued by the trailer on this one, but I haven't seen it. Kyle, tell us about Licorice Pizza.
PTA, Paul Thomas Anderson. It's one of three movies this year that has some questionable thoughts on dating and ages. We'll probably talk about the other two as well, but it's about Philip Seymour Hoffman's son in his first ever acting gig, who plays like a young entrepreneur at like 15, who basically has fallen for a girl that is way too old for him, and it's about their back and forth relationship, for good or for bad. Dane could fill in the gaps if he feels like he wants to on that one.
Well, I almost rented it last night, but we watched The Eyes of Tammy Faye instead. So I'll be watching Licorice Pizza, though, this week before the Oscars.
Great soundtrack.
To me, in the trailer, it looked like it kind of wanted to be very much in the vein of Almost Famous, which is like my second favorite movie of all time. But people are saying there is the creep factor and there is a little bit of like nonsensical or non sequitur scenes that kind of like make the movie really odd. But I'm interested to watch it. I'm sure I'll find it enjoyable in many
ways. Speaking of odd films, the next one is Nightmare Alley, the latest from Guillermo del Toro.
Well, see, this is up your alley because this is all about geeks.
It's the other kind of geeks, not the chicken head biting kind of geeks, Chip. Yes, this is the carnival atmosphere and those sideshow freaks, huh?
Yes.
Great ending.
The Power of the Dog, I don't know anything about. Who's got Power of the Dog?
You should get to know it because it's probably going to win Best Picture.
Well, it's a Netflix movie, Steve, so I know you have Netflix. You can watch that very easily. It's a slow burner, but it's a Western directed by Jane Campion. Sam Elliott apparently has issues with a woman directing the Western, by the way, or this one.
You don't know anything about the worst.
It's got Benedict Cumberbatch in the lead role, and it's a slow burn, but it's a very non-traditional Western, and it's a very well-made cinematic piece.
A lot of discussion on masculinity in that one. Mm-hmm. That's your little sneak peek.
On the very original side, we've got the new version of West Side Story, directed by Steven Spielberg. This was a really great way to make a movie out of a stage musical, in my opinion.
Certainly going to win Best Finger Snaps.
I don't think that they're doing that category. That'll be one of the categories they do before the show, and we'll just see the footage of, those are the best finger snaps of the year. So, Kyle, you said The Power of the Dog is your pick for what you think is the best picture this year.
Dane can tell me if I'm wrong on this, but at this point, after the PGA Awards last night, it looks like it's either going to be Power of the Dog or Coda will likely win the award. Whether that's everybody's favorite film is a different story.
Yeah, so this is wild because, like, Power of the Dog sort of was kind of on a trajectory of like what Nomadland did last year when it won Best Picture. And that is like, you know, it's cleaning up everything. And now, like lately in the last, I think it's because the Oscars are so late now. Come on, we're talking like end of March at this point. Nominations were forever ago, where Power of the Dog got the most with 12 and Coda only had 3. But now they're like almost on equal footing going into Oscar night because Coda just won the Producers Guild Awards. And that is their like, that's the closest thing to Best Picture because the way they vote for it, it's not just like the most number of votes wins that award. it's you rank, you can rank all 10 in order. And so like a movie that gets, that's really well liked, even if it's not the most number ones, can win. And I think that's what happened with Coda. Like it's on people's lists at 2, 3, 4, and you can win based on broad support rather than just most number ones.
Coda is a tearjerker. It's a heartwarming film.
It also won the Screen Actors Guild Award for the best ensemble cast, which was, which kind of came out of nowhere. And that was a little bit before the PGAs. And Power of the Dog wasn't even nominated for that award. So it's kind of slipping up in some spots. And I think it's going to be a, like, I won't know who's going to win until they open the envelope and hopefully say the right name. So
it would be cool to see Coda win because it was a Sundance film 2 years ago. And so to come from like the indie circuit like that and win Best Picture would be very
It almost
rare.
Never happens. Boyhood was the closest and it just ran out of steam.
Whiplash got close too.
Yep.
Whiplash was that same year. But yeah, generally speaking, that doesn't happen. So it would be really cool to see. But it's because everybody feels good when they watch Coda. Like it's just a really good, it leaves everybody feeling great. And
it's one of the movies you can sit down in front of everybody and they're going to like it. And you cannot say that about Power of the Dog. So, but the Academy has shown that they can do, they can go both ways lately, you know, because not everybody that I know ever wanted to see Moonlight or Spotlight or, but they're like, oh, Green Book. Okay. But Coda doesn't have the same problem as Green Book of like, there's no white savior in this or anything like that. So,
what's interesting is I saw Coda on Apple TV Plus. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, that looks interesting. I'll watch it. I had access to it, but I never turned it on to watch it. Mm. And now I feel like that I'm really missed out.
Correct.
How long have you known about this show, Chip, and you didn't watch it?
Well, you know, I do my best. But, you know, I have life going on around me, too.
But I think that's a problem with Apple TV Plus. I think all the things on Apple TV Plus get lost. I think that the audience either doesn't understand the value of it because they got it for free because they bought an Apple phone, or they just don't have access to it.
Well, Apple TV Plus releases a lot of stuff that you're right, it's very good, but you have to, you know, you start throwing in all the other streaming services too. And we're going to see, this is going to be much more challenging, especially if we don't get back to a traditional movie theater performance.
Mm-hmm. What was,
so I'm very surprised and that I've missed, like I said, these two films that you guys think are going to win. Because if you would have asked me who is going to win Best Picture, I was going West Side Story because, you know, I was thinking of who was voting for this. I'm thinking it's Spielberg's, it's not the end of his career or anything, but certainly he is a person that they would like to give an award to. And I thought it was beautiful.
I enjoyed West Side Story a lot. I think that it was, the cinematography on it should win an award. I'm not sure if the direction needs to win an award. Steven Spielberg absolutely made a masterpiece here. This is, like you said, the height of his directing career, but it's the cinematography that really struck me from this one.
So according to our two experts, I am wrong. Which is okay.
As per usual, yeah.
I mean, you're wrong. Life.
Of course. I mean, let's just go ahead and just all agree.
I mean, Belfast might even be like the third place movie if we're talking like realistic chances to win. I think it's Belfast, but
I mean, as soon as Denis Villeneuve didn't get a director nomination, then I think it put Dune out of the picture.
Yeah,
I think Dune was excellent and could 100% be a good Best Picture winner. But as soon as he didn't get nominated for directing, I was like, I don't think that's going to happen.
But you know what this sets up, and the fact that Dune, by the way, it's, there's no question in my mind, it's walking out of Oscar night with the most statues. They're just going to be like below the line categories, like all the techs and stuff. But this sets up for part two. If it lives up, then it's going to be like the Return of the King effect. And you'll see him not only get nominated, but win director. That'll be when it's going to win Best Picture instead of this year. So let's see if he finishes what he started on a
That's the Denis Villeneuve I want, one with a chip on his shoulder. He already makes incredible films. I want him to actually take it even a step further.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, Dune debuted on HBO Max and was also in the theater. So you got to watch it for 2 weeks on HBO Max. This was the controversial to the filmmakers decision by Warner Brothers or by AT&T to put their films on have them debut on HBO Max along with the theater release, and then, you know, only for a couple of weeks, and then put them back, have them only at the theater for a period of time. So I really like Dune too.
Yeah, they did that with King Richard too, and I missed that during the HBO Max window, and so then it was $20 to rent or go to the theater. And so I just recently saw it when it came down to being like a regular rental price again, like $6 or whatever.
So. I really liked King Richard a lot too. That was a good film. I think Will Smith did a great job, and the two young actors who played Venus and Serena were excellent too. And I think it was a great story to tell too. So I mean, there's a lot that I went into it that I enjoyed, that I wanted to see. Everyone wants to see their children do well. King Richard certainly put together the battle plan to make it happen.
I thought you were leading into everyone wants to see their children do well. That's why I'm rooting for my son, Will Smith, to win Best Actor.
Family connection. Yeah. Don't Look Up has no chance to win this. It really shouldn't have been in the top, the 10. It was like the lowest Rotten Tomatoes score by far comparatively to the others, but...
I enjoyed the Look Up. I enjoyed the banter. It's a comedy. Comedies don't win either.
Drama. It's too on the nose.
I didn't see where it wound up on your list, Kyle, but
it's not.
But I wonder who's lowly rating this. Are they conservatives?
Maybe. Probably, but I'm not the farthest thing from a conservative. But I was like, it's too on the nose. Like, give it a few years before we have that. Like, this is.
Adam, it was my favorite Tyler Perry role.
Do nothing about it, so just move on in life.
But Jennifer Lawrence stands up and says, "What are we missing here?" And she's screaming.
I did appreciate the way Meryl Streep dies at the end. Spoiler:
mid and post credits were awesome.
They're trying to figure what is that. I don't know. Oh, now we know. I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that movie. I can't really suggest it to too many people. I think it's not funny enough, and it's too on the nose, and too much thinking goes into it. But I did enjoy Don't Look Up.
Sort of smart comedy. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And great satire. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed this film a whole bunch. But you're right. I don't think this is the best picture type material.
No. Stephen Kyle, you cannot strip it of its best picture nomination. History now.
That's right. Like, I can't strip Bohemian Rhapsody's 4 Oscar nominations. I can't do that, and I would love to. So
you know what? There's 10 this year, and there's been the possibility of 10 in years past. But because of the way the voting goes, it was always like 8 or 9. But now they're like 10. It's a flat 10 no matter what. So let's just say that was the 10th one that snuck in instead of Something Else You Love.
When we get
to 10.
When we get to the actor in a leading role category, we get some different films. We've got Javier Bardem in Being the Ricardos, Benedict Cumberbatch, Back to the Power of the Dog, Andrew Garfield, Tick, Tick, Boom, back to Will Smith and King Richard, and Denzel Washington in The Tragedy of Macbeth. Who gets the award here, Kyle?
Probably Will Smith.
Wow.
I don't know. Dane, what do you think?
Yeah, it's Will Smith. He won the... Yeah. BAFTA, Golden Globe, Critics' Choice, Screen Actors Guild swept the season. So it would be a shock, like a Chadwick Boseman type of shock, if he doesn't get it. And I don't even know who would be the runner-up at this point.
Maybe Garfield? Cumberbatch. Yeah, I mean, Cumberbatch, because that movie's got so much love. I loved Garfield and Tick, Tick, Boom. So I personally would love that win, but I know it's probably not going to happen.
That's not... I mean, that's my surest bet, I think, is Will Smith, because people love him. They've loved him in like every, you know, genre of entertainment that he's tried over the years. So this is kind of like a career Oscar for him. And they're not going to just say, oh, Will Smith's going to vote any or win anyway, so I'm going to use my vote on. I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to like love voting for Will Smith. So,
yeah, Bardem doesn't belong in this category.
I was about to personally say that exactly because I don't see him as being a great actor in this role. I did not even believe him as no.
He's nothing like Desi. Maybe the voice. He got the voice, but he looks. But he doesn't have really the build, anything of nothing. Desi.
The only performer in that movie who was worthy of an Oscar nom was Nicole Kidman. I thought she bodied her role, but the other ones, I'm like, eh. J.K. Simmons' nomination was just—I love J.K. Simmons, but not for this. Like, come on, what are we doing?
Let's nominate him for Ghostbusters Afterlife before this.
Like, no, I'm just if I was going to pick a different actor to take that fifth spot, it would have been either Simon Rex and Red Rocket or Nicolas Cage and pick. Those would have been my two.
Yeah,
Cage. How about his undercover reporting outing Peter Parker? I mean, that was incredible.
Who? Who's Peter Parker?
Good question. No one's really sure.
Never heard of him.
Ask Andrew Garfield from Tick, Tick, Boom.
That makes sense.
Who Peter Parker is.
The actor in a supporting role, we've got Belfast and Coda and The Power of the Dog and Being the Ricardos, J.K. Simmons, and another Power of the Dog, two Power of the Dog actors up for Best Supporting Role. Where are you going to go on this one, Dane?
So the winner, you can just pencil it in. Troy Kotsur from Coda. He plays the father of the girl in that movie.
Fully deserving. Incredible.
Amazing performance. He's got the funny parts and he's got the emotional, big emotional scene that you need from the supporting actor. Jesse Plemons in this was a tacked on nomination that just showed how much of a force Power of the Dog was, because he does nothing in this movie.
he was wallpaper.
Yeah, as you look at these nominations, it's Troy and Cody Smith McPhee are really the only two that I think were worthy.
Yeah, Cody Smith could upset, but it's not been trending in that direction.
But in terms of my snubs, I think Colman Domingo in Zola was incredible. If people get a chance to watch Zola, the way he turns on a dime in that movie, again, smaller indie production, so it's not going to get the same love. And then Vincent Lunden and Titan, my favorite movie of the year. I think he's incredible in that movie too. So,
how would you have felt if Bradley Cooper had snuck in for Licorice Pizza, which I hear he's got a brief role, but good.
He is, it's the smallest amount of screen time possible, but he is so electric on screen. So I would have been fine with it, especially because, I mean, Bradley Cooper not winning Best Picture or Best Actor for A Star Is Born is criminal years later. So
yeah, that was. Sad. And Gaga for actress.
I wouldn't be angry at that at all. But I mean, Ben Affleck in The Tender Bar, he's incredible in that. He did get some awards love. And then, I mean, Mass didn't get a single acting nom. And Mass is like a critic's beloved movie. The problem with Mass is that there are four leads and that lead that whole film. And it's hard to pick one or the other. They all kind of share the screen and share the awards love. Mm-hmm. And they weren't going to get all four of them Oscar nominations. So that was its fatal flaw.
Moving on to actress in a leading role, we've got some of my favorite actresses on this list. Jessica Chastain in The Eyes of Tammy Faye, Olivia Colman in The Lost Daughter, she's in everything, Penelope Cruz in Parallel Mothers, Nicole Kidman in Being the Ricardos, and Kristen Stewart in Spencer. Line.
I have no issues with any of these nominations. I think I think they did pretty well with the nominations on this.
Jessica Chastain.
Lady Gaga didn't get in though, so there's your good snub.
Good. House of Gucci is
awful. All right. Jessica Chastain, I mean, did they give her the right makeup?
She's going to win Best Actress most likely, so.
Yeah.
She deserves something finally after. I mean, not quite to the degree of Amy Adams not being recognized by the Academy, but it's definitely Jessica's time, not like Nicole Kidman again.
Right.
I mean, if you ask film Twitter, they would tell you Kristen Stewart and Spencer, because she's been like the beloved one. Honestly, people were shocked she was even nominated.
I do not understand that. I hate Kristen Stewart's acting. I absolutely have art in my house that makes fun of Kristen Stewart and her ability to stare into the camera longingly. I don't get it.
Well, she's really good. And have you seen Spencer?
No.
She's very good at it.
I've seen Spencer, and I felt it was kind of just watching a person being tortured. I mean, that was mm-hmm. what it was, and watching a person being tortured, and you get tortured by watching this person being tortured. I mean, that's what I felt of this film. It's like, oh, it's really tough being a royal. She's unhappy. Let's go on a journey and be unhappy with her for a couple hours.
It's like the royal family presents Sallow or the 120 Days of the Sodom.
a Serbian film, the British version is what we're hearing. Dane, do we get surprised again with another Olivia Colman Best Actress win?
I don't think she has it. She didn't even get it from the BAFTAs this year. They chose some Joanna Newsom. I don't even know what movie she was in, but she's not nominated here. It's not her time. She already stole Glenn Close's Oscar.
She's already got two, so she's sailing.
She can't steal. Like, the first one was earned, then she stole Glenn Close's, and now she can't steal Jessica Chastain's, because that would just be absurd.
So we think it's going to be Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, us in the Munson's world would be very happy if Chastain won. It's nice to see a Munson actor win a big award.
Actress in a supporting role, we've got several of the same movies over again. The Lost Daughter, West Side Story, Belfast with Judi Dench getting the nomination this time, and The Power of the Dog and King Richard. What do you think?
I feel like the dad in Dewey Cox when he says the wrong son died and saying that the wrong actress from Belfast got nominated for Best Supporting Actress. I don't think it should have been Judi Dench. I think it should have been Catriona Belfi. But that's me.
So Catriona hasn't put in her time yet in the film industry. She's the star of Outlander, and so that's what they know her for. That's tough. I did think Judi Dench was good, though. You can't say she's never like.
No, she's bad. Fine, but like, it's just a legacy nomination. That's all that is.
I just wanted to go ahead and point out, I'm going to mention North Carolina daughter, Ariana DeBose. I'll just mention that name.
She swept the season, so she's
going to win.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Best animated film, we've got Encanto, which is certainly a wonderful film that I've seen. Boys, I've seen this movie. There's one called Flea. There's Luca. There's The Mitchells versus the Machines and Reina and The Last Dragon. Tell me which is the winner here.
Probably Flea. I mean, Flea is nominated for Best International Feature Film as well. It's available on Hulu, Steve, so you can watch that for free if you want to.
Or you could run from it. That's why it's called Flea.
It's a powerful story told about an immigrant. It is a documentary told through animation, which is very fascinating. And identities are kept secret because of the nature of the story they're telling. So it's very good. Mitchell's versus the Machines is my favorite on this list, but I don't think it's going to win. I think Flea will win, personally.
Here's where I'm going to disagree with you, Kyle, because so Flea may be nominated also in foreign, which is great. But the animation branch is the one who submits all these nominations, and the foreign branch submitted the foreign nominations. So I still think it's going to go to the Pixar movie.
You think it's going to be Encanto?
I think it will, because the whole Academy at large, that's the movie they know and actually took the time to watch. Now, maybe the fact that this was also a foreign language film nominee, maybe that gives them more incentive to actually watch this, but mm-hmm. Let's be real.
Well,
yeah, Steve, I mean, it's probably going to be Encanto, let's be honest.
Steve and I have one rule. We don't talk about Bruno.
We don't talk about... Yeah, how that song didn't get nominated. Come on, what are we doing over here?
It's amazing how much that song has become a part of our cultural heritage at this point. And the idea that Lin-Manuel did not think that that was going to be the song that was going to break out of this film, and it just hit, and he's as excited about it as we are.
And we should point out that Steve works with middle schoolers, so of course the song about Bruno
right
is going to be the one.
That's right,
because middle schoolers love it.
On to cinematography, one of my favorite categories, we've got Dune, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, The Tragedy of Macbeth, and West Side Story. Speaking as the person who has seen West Side Story, I gotta say, I think it's a shoo-in for the cinematography, the choreography, and the sweeping camera moves of West Side Story, giving us that feeling of watching a stage play, even though it's a film. It's brilliant.
And let's let Dane tear us apart on this.
I was about to say, Dane's going to tell you Dane's going to win this.
So. Yeah, I mean, so now we're getting into the tech categories, and this is where you're going to, like, I mean, if it goes like how a lot of these other awards have gone, the precursors, then you're going to be hard-pressed to find something other than Dune winning a lot of these. But there have been surprises in cinematography and editing in the last several Oscar ceremonies. So, like, I wouldn't necessarily expect Dune to win every single thing that we think it will in the text. So it's vulnerable in, like, here or editing, I think. I just don't know that West Side Story would be. I think Kaminsky already has an Oscar or two under his belt, and that's Spielberg's man. Maybe Power of the Dog, if that's like going to signal its potential win for Best Picture. That's something you'd look at as an early sign of that.
Tragedy of Macbeth is a gorgeously filmed movie. It's just a very narrow audience for that type of film. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it'll win.
We don't talk about Bruno Del Bonnell, the cinematographer of Tragedy of Macbeth.
Where's the French Dispatch? That should be in here. Come on, what are we doing, people? It's Wes Anderson's team in there.
Oh, that should be costume design usually for any Wes Anderson movie, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't see it here on the next list. Steve, what do we got?
Yeah, we've got Cruella, Cyrano, Dune, and a two-word one, Nightmare Alley, and a three-word one, West Side Story. Where do you,
Cruella making an appearance in the nominations. Look at that. Me and Cyrano.
Any opinion on costuming, Chip?
Well, I Disney puts a lot of effort in their costuming. Cruella certainly was a striking film. Wasn't a good film, but certainly striking. I really don't have... I don't know. I can tell you that Eternals wasn't nominated because of their the palette they probably chose. But I don't know. I mean, Nightmare Alley is a beautiful film. Was costuming really the reason for it? Is this West Side Story because it's a more of a musical? I don't know.
They usually love the big showy. There's usually something from like set in the 1700s that wins this. But I don't know. They usually don't go for like the sci-fi movie in costumes, but this could be the year
that happens. But
Dune has awesome costumes. Mm-hmm. Just having seen it last night, I'm going to talk about a snub here. The eyes of Tammy Faye should be on here. Some of those 70s and 80s like televangelist outfits are like.
It was an interesting time. Stuff. You guys weren't alive during this time, were you? Or you were kids, right?
I was born in 81, so.
Okay, so this is my my teenage years. And Tammy Faye Baker and Jim Baker were the height of that type of fashion at that time. And it certainly was, I mean, it was the 80s that looked like the 70s. I don't know. It wasn't power suits, but it certainly had an interesting look that... Oh, yes. Lots of makeup, my friends.
Accurate.
On to director. I've already said out loud that one of my favorite directors working is Kenneth Branagh. He is nominated for Belfast. We've got Drive My Car, Licorice Pizza, The Power of the Dog, Jane Campion there, and Steven Spielberg for West Side Story. Is this Steven Spielberg's award to lose?
No.
No?
It's Jane Campion's award to lose for Power of the Dog.
Back-to-back best directors who are female.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it is a modern world, my friends.
And when you think about it, too, with Coda and Power of the Dog being the top two contenders, Sean Heder, also a female director. She's not nominated in here, too. Potentially, that should be a thing. As Dane talks about all the technicals, like Dune should win this, Denis Villeneuve should have been nominated for director. If you win all the below-the-line technical things, that's part of your direction. So it drives me nuts that he's not nominated.
But people surmise, because the Directors Guild of America had four of these five, people surmise that the Drive My Car director, Hamaguchi, stole that nomination from him, and you love Drive My Car. So
yeah, Drive My Car is good. I would take off Licorice Pizza personally, but that's just me.
Okay.
Documentaries, we talk about documentaries every once in a while on Too Much Scrolling. We've got some titles here that I've never heard before. There's Ascension, Attica, Flea that we've already talked about, The Summer of Soul, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised, and Writing with Fire. Kyle, you are our documentary expert, right?
Yeah, I've seen four of these, so I haven't seen Writing with Fire, but Ascension is a fascinating... it is it's an observational documentary about the Chinese like dream. So It just shows people in China working in different markets, working different jobs, and showing the full picture. So it's a rare documentary that isn't narrated at you, just kind of shows you things. So it was interesting. I wouldn't put it at the same level of Attica, Flea, or Summer of Soul. Attica's a story about the jailbreak, the prisoners at Attica prison taking over. And that whole saga decades ago. So that was fascinating to watch. Very good. We talked about Flea, and then Summer of Soul is Questlove's documentary about that festival, which also premiered at Sundance 2 years ago. So that would be cool to see again. When, and I think that's going to win. Tell me if I'm wrong, Dane. Do you think Summer of Soul? It's either going to be Flea or Summer of Soul, right?
Yeah, Summer of Soul just won the Producers Guild Award last night as well for Best Documentary. And, you know, it should be The Rescue from Disney Plus, which was snubbed from this category. This was about the rescue of the Thai soccer team by these crazy, brave cave divers, British cave divers, and one, I believe, was Australian as well. Just an incredible story, but I think the thing it had working against it was the Free Solo directors made it, and they had just, they have won in recent years. And the footage of all the cave diving and the rescue was actually not done by them because they weren't on the scene when this was happening. They were given that footage and then edited the interviews together. So
is there a chance that Encanto gets the animation award, but Flea gets the documentary award?
Yeah. I think there's enough support of it that it does. But the good thing, Dane, even though The Rescue didn't get nominated, it's become a feature film, so people get that story that way in fictional format. So that's good. My favorite documentary of the year was The First Wave, which is a very heart-wrenching, like, first-person look at the frontline folks who were involved in taking care of people affected by COVID, and it is, you'll cry, it's so well done to talk about, like, the struggle that first responders had to deal with that and like maintain their lives. That would be my snub for this category personally.
Interesting, because that would be so timely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were two good COVID documentaries, that one, and then there was one on HBO Max as well that didn't really get a lot of love either.
The documentary branch just can't be relied on to nominate like the best stuff every time, because now they've missed Won't You Be My Neighbor. They didn't nominate that. They missed Hoop Dreams. And so those are like two of the best documentaries I can think of that were ever made. Mm-hmm. Now they've missed The Rescue and First Wave.
Won't You Be My Neighbor is one of the most criminal snubs of all time. It's unbelievable.
Agreed. Kyle, usually you get a chance to see all the short subject. You go to a theater and see all the shorts together. Did you do that this year?
No, I slacked this year. I didn't get a chance to see any of the shorts, so I cannot speak to those, unfortunately.
All right. So let's talk about music. Let's jump down to music. You already mentioned that we don't talk about Bruno should be on this list, but we have Be Alive from King Richard on the original song, one of the songs from Encanto, and we've got a song from Belfast, Down to Joy, No Time to Die gets nominated from James Bond, and Somehow You Do from Four Good Days. Where are we going for original music, boys?
I'm going to mention that I was at, you know, I was watching the NCAA tournament this last week. I'm having a conversation. I want to say it was a friend of mine's wife. But anyway, they were talking about music that they kind of zone out to, and they love Hans Zimmer, and they love the Dune soundtrack, of all the things to pick up. And many of us don't pick up soundtracks and go, you know, I'm going to listen to the soundtrack. So anyway, it's just how interesting that came up in a conversation this week.
Any opinions on these Dane?
Dune Michael. yeah, so sure, give me Dune for score. Hans Zimmer is amazing. But for the original song, I don't know. Like, Diane Warren has been nominated, I think,
like 20 times.
She's the one nominated for Four Good Days, the movie you've never heard of, or unless you're Kyle.
I watched it.
She's been nominated, I believe, 15 or 16 times in this category and has never won. But she's only getting nominated as like a aha. She wrote another mm-hmm. song for a movie at this point. It's never like, is she really going to be in the same league as Billie Eilish, Beyonce, Lin-Manuel, and Van Morrison? No, she has no shot to win. But I think Van Morrison doesn't have a shot to win either because he's a COVID denier, I believe, at this point. He's been doing like anti-masking and tours and stuff like that. But I would say this is down between King Richard and Encanto. So Beyonce versus Lin-Manuel.
Yeah. And there's it's not a favorite like Shallow was a couple years ago from A Star Is Born, where it's like, congrats on all of you, the other four being able to perform, but you're not going to win this award. So
the James Bond movie could win this again.
Potentially.
Too,
so
are they going to, is this one of the awards that they're going to perform live? Is this one that they got, I know they shortened the show this year, or are they going to announce this off camera? I think
they should. I haven't heard if they're going to perform these, but that's one of the things that does draw viewers in, is like having these big names perform these songs. Because it's kind of like the Grammys for movie fans at that point. Like, oh, we can get Billie Eilish, Beyonce, and Lin-Manuel here. Okay, let's do that. But I believe the stuff they're cutting out from the show to make it shorter are actual award presentations. They're just going to say, oh, by the way, this is what won, and they're going to flash it on the screen. So, and they're switching out which awards every year, so no category feels belittled. But they really should just take the shorts out of the ceremony entirely, because
we all should wear long pants anyway. It's a little bit too informal.
I'm sitting here still.
Now that we're not doing it on Zoom, you got to wear pants.
It's an all pants show here. You have to wear your big boy clothes.
Steve, I refuse to research these songs because I'm protesting since Husovic from Eurovision didn't win the Oscar last year. We'll forever be triggered by that because that song is incredible.
But the man or Muppet one did win, like, so a joke song has won in recent years, in recent memory.
That song is so good.
Are there any other categories that we need to go over? Because a lot of these are the same films over and over again. Is there anything that we've missed?
Visual effects is a little different.
All right, so that one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We've got Dune, Free Guy, No Time to Die, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and Spider-Man No Way Home. Which way do you go with that one, Dane?
Well, I go Dune because in visual effects, if there's a Best Picture nominee in there, which is not that common, let's be honest, that usually wins. So,
most cavernous room that
here's the thing, the people voting on this, they vote for the movie they like best because it's not the visual effects people voting on the final winner. It's
sure
the whole Academy. So they're like, I liked Dune, I didn't like Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings or whatever, but Spider-Man No Way Home, sure, that could win.
Sneak in,
it could be an upset. Sneak in.
Oh, you got the free Spider-Man.
I love that Free Guy got a nomination because I really enjoyed Free Guy.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's definitely not
that Oscar Ryan winner. Reynolds, he's pretty charming.
He should do more films. That Ryan Reynolds, he's not doing enough.
People like him. He should probably do something with Hugh Jackman too. I think they'd make a great team.
Let me put down my Mint Mobile phone and pick up my Aviator Gin.
Mm-hmm. I mean, screenplay wise, Dane, who do we think is going to win the adapted and originals?
So the Writers Guild Awards are actually tonight, and Power of the Dog's not eligible, so it's not going to tell us a whole lot about adapted screenplay, but I think Coda has a good chance to win that, and if it's going to win Best Picture, it has to win something besides Supporting Actor, I think, and screenplay is its other chance, so...
Mm-hmm. So let's get down to what the real people want to do. This is all the positive stuff. Let's talk about the snubs. The Wake Forest, the Texas A&Ms of the world really want to know who was snubbed here.
I mean, I'm looking at what what Kyle's written down, and we've talked about a lot of these.
We have, yeah.
Now, Titane was a movie he told me to watch, which did well at Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah, it won the Palme d'Or at Cannes.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I'm sorry, bud, but it was never going to happen, right?
No, it's a film about a woman who falls in love with a car. So.
Well, Shape of Water won Best Picture.
I saw this movie.
That's true.
In fact, I called it Titani? Anyway, I don't know.
Titan is technically how it's pronounced.
Okay. Who said I was literate? I mean, come on.
Nobody.
Nobody would say that.
I didn't know that originally. I had to hear other people say it to know there that's what go. It was called. So
now, Lady Gaga didn't make Kyle's list of snubs here, but on Twitter, when they announced these nominees and the snubs, Twitter was very upset for Lady Gaga because they love her. They thought that she should have won one award already for A Star Is Born. And yeah,
do you think she's still House in the shallow?
House of Gucci did not do well at these Academy Awards.
Yeah, because it was the worst of the two Ridley Scott films. The Last Duel was better than that. I'll stand by that all day.
Speaking of which, you've got Ben Affleck on your list for The Tender Bar not being nominated.
I could see it. It was a long shot, but early in the awards process, they talked a lot about Ben Affleck in the movie. It's not a great movie, but I think he's pretty damn good in it.
I think he like got one acting nomination in one of the I think maybe like a Golden Globes for supporting actor nomination. And so that kind of like there was a mini campaign, but I really enjoyed that movie, and people should watch it on Amazon Prime if they have it. Because it's just sitting there waiting for you to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. The other, from my list here, the other ones we didn't talk about, A Hero on Asghar Farhadi, who did A Separation, which was one of my favorite movies ever. That movie is on Prime as well, I believe. And I'm surprised it didn't get a foreign film nomination as well. Because there was a lot of steam for that through the process. And then The Green Knight, I know was a bit, I figured it would get one technical nomination along the way somewhere, but I'm
is
also
that Marvel
not
or DC?
it's an offshoot of Green Lantern, you know.
That's actually a great point right there. When you read the word The Green Knight, it certainly sounds like it could be a Marvel or a DC type film, but it wasn't. But it was I don't know, supernatural Camelot type of presentation.
Very much a slow burn, for sure, as well. From a pacing standpoint, David Lowery, very slow.
So what do you think, guys? Are you going to watch the Oscars coming up on Sunday, March 27th on ABC?
I'll think about it.
The Oscarologist. Yeah, well. The Oscarologist says he might watch the Oscars in 2022. What about you, Kyle?
Yeah, I'll watch. I usually watch it in person with like a bunch of other people, but I think this year I'll just watch it on my couch. And text people as I get angry at things.
In person means like you're at the... The Kodak? Is that where they're at? The Kodak Theater?
Yeah, well, I was hanging out in... where were they at last year? They were... didn't they clear out a bunch of homeless people from where they filmed last year?
Makes everyone feel good.
During COVID. No, I
don't
usually
ever have
it.
The ceremony on like the Universal Studios lot, like with the clock tower behind them and everything. That would be good.
Are you going to watch it, Steve?
I am not a big fan of watching the awards shows. Again, I think it's a lot of Hollywood navel-gazing. I think that it's Hollywood patting Hollywood on the back for being Hollywood, and the most Hollywood movie wins the Hollywood Awards. I'm not going to tune in for this one. I'm sorry.
I think that was the old Academy. Now it's more of like it's like a social thing more than anything else. So like...
I usually get up in the morning, throw on my tuxedo.
You know, forever for the Academy. And now so like Nomadland can win Best Picture.
And Parasite. And Parasite can win Best Picture.
Yes. But Parasite was like, you know, I wasn't blown away by Nomadland, but I think everybody that I know that's seen Parasite has been blown away by it. So
weirdly enough, those were my top films in the last 2 years. So I love both. I'm on a streak, but Titan didn't make it this year, so my streak's ending. Unfortunately.
Let it be Coda and the shocker of the century.
All right, boys. So how can our listeners keep track of your feelings and all of your texting about the Oscars. Kyle, where can we find more from you?
Yeah, you could follow me on Twitter, Kyle_A_Hickman, or just follow the Munson's at Movies. We are posting all sorts of stuff. So lots of good content out there. And I'm usually on Twitter, popping some review.
Dane, where can we find more from you?
Don't follow me on Twitter because I don't really tweet. Honestly, just look me up on Facebook if you care. It's Dane, MYCHAL. Probably the only Dane Michael on there that has a picture with Lloyd Kaufman for a profile. So,
and Steve, you can follow me on Twitter at Too Much Scrolling, just so you know.
Yeah, it's at Much Scrolling because the two was too much for Twitter.
That's why we're not Munson's at the Movies on Twitter. We're Munson's at Movies. Cut down on the characters there.
Cutting down on the characters for 8 years. That's too much scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
All right, boys. It has been wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in and being our experts on movies. We'll hopefully get to do this again next year.
I would like to thank everyone for showing up today. Especially
the
producers.
Music's playing, Chip. I'm sorry. Your time is up.
Hopefully we can do it earlier next year in February. When the movie
you were already told to write down who you want to thank so that they could put it across the screen, you know, so it's scrolling across the screen when you win. I'm sorry.
But I've got some politics I'd like to share with everyone at this moment.
Take the Ricky
We'd love
Gervais
to. The show's
approach.
Running long, though.
You win an award. Come up. Get your award. Thank your God. Thank your agent. F off. Get off.
The evening news is on standby and they're just waiting in the studio to deliver the goods.
Ricky Gervais certainly has changed how we're going to answer a lot of stuff.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Again, we are Too Much Scrolling. If you want more information, Chip, I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hasenfla, or Oscar the Grouch. You never know.
Or Oscar de la Hoya. Now it's garbage. We'll see you in the future. What I want.